Turn in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for our text today. And good morning. Praise the Lord. What a great day. Thanks, Angelo, for that announcement. What a good day it is. And we'll be meeting in the classroom too for our fellowship with the newcomers. I guess if you've been new here, I don't know, what's the time, 1 year or something, or 1 year or less, you're new here and you want to kind of hang out with us right after this service, then you're very welcome. I sense the Spirit of God in our church, and Friday night we had prayer here from 6:30 until 10 at night. A good group of us met, and we just are praying for the city of Baltimore, praying for Camp Life, which is happened this past week with the junior campers, and now this week with the teens. Yeah, that's a great victory, and a lot of families are driving their family members to the camp. And the staff is excellent. Pastor Love shared at 9 o'clock this morning. He's on the road now, I'm sure, heading up there. And we've had a great summer. Praise God. And thank you for your faith and your love and what the Lord is doing amongst us. I really feel like I'm in the midst of many blessings in many ways, and I want you to feel that way too. The Spirit of God is in you. You are anointed of God. You have the Spirit of God in your life, and God would like to minister to you and show you who you are and what it is that you have. So look at chapter 2. We're going to, I think, just read now, but we'll teach it after the offering. But this is a warm-up for you, warm-up. So chapter 2 and verse 7. We'll go to verse 16. Maybe in the teaching we will go through the whole. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. What does that mean? Oh, no, now I think I'm going to end up teaching it. Okay. For we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Wow. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Look at verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, amen, but the Spirit which is of God. Are they different? Yes. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right. That'll be the text for our message today, and I'm excited about it. I really think there's something there that's so much of that. We need to understand that text. What is it saying and what does it mean? Okay. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we are the people of the Spirit of God. We are God's people, and we're known by people that have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We know about the Father. The Father revealed to us who he is by the Son. The Son of God was here in the Gospels. And he ascended up and is seated at the right hand. And then he and the Father sent the Holy Spirit into the world. And this Spirit of God is different from the Spirit that is in the world. That's quite a thought, that there's a difference between the world and God. God came into the world, but the world was in darkness and comprehended not the light. The darkness that is in the world. What kind of darkness? The moral and spiritual darkness that is in the world does not comprehend the spiritual light that is in Christ, that is in God. God, Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Life. What kind of life? God's life. We say created life and uncreated life. What is created life? Created life. What's that? Life created. Bugs, animals, birds, fish, you, me, we are created. That's bio's life or created life. But then there's uncreated life. What's that? God. God's uncreated. Nobody made God. He always has been, always will be. That's God. God is uncreated. Uncreated life has come into you. Uncreated life, that's Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, has come into us and made us alive to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, some of you may be new believers, or you haven't read the Bible very much, or you know very little about it, but this will happen. What will happen to you is the life of Christ will provoke you to be a student of the Bible. Why do we go to church? So I can learn what? The Bible. I want to learn the Word of God. Because these are the thoughts of God. And the Spirit of God wrote them. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The Greek is the God breathed, the breath of God, the Scripture is God breathed. God gave the word, the Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the alphabet, of the Jewish alphabet, not one stroke of the pen will pass away. But heaven and earth will pass away. But not one part of his word will pass away. Isn't that amazing? In Matthew 25. So I just want you to, I'm going to go slow because I want you to follow this. When you become a believer, you start to get this hunger for the things of God and the Spirit of God. You want the anointing of God in your life. You are God's child. So he gathers us and opens the book, and we listen. And some of the questions I have are answered from the Word. Some of them are not. They may be later. But anyway, for us to learn and hear something that would go in our spirit, this is the ministry of God. And of course, Baptists, Pentecostals, born-again Catholics, anybody that has the Spirit of God and is ministering the Spirit of God, then we are drawn to that. We want to hear it. We want to receive it. God said it feeds us. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep." Like feeding is First Peter chapter 5. We feed the flock which is amongst us. Not by filthy lucre, not by money. Money doesn't make a preacher, but by a willing mind. So you are willing to learn, and as you learn and it goes in your heart, then you carry that with you, and that is able to help you live this life a different way. We live in a different way. So this text that we chose for today will help us understand this. And I'm going to try to keep my comments short, but it is kind of hard to do that. But I just want you to read the scripture and follow it with me. Chapter 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Now, there's reason. Reason is not a mystery. Reason is a valuable part of the human mind, logic and reason. You know, reasonableness, common sense, reasonableness, logic, that's important. But this is more. This is a mystery. That means not everybody gets it. Not everybody understands it. Not everybody is able to understand it and know it from God's heart. This is spiritual. So reason is valuable, but it's not enough to be intimate with God. Okay, you can be reasonable as an engineer, but that doesn't mean that you know about love, for example. I understand the automobile, but I don't know about love. I know about medicine, but I don't know about love. I know about astrophysics, but I don't know about love. I know about the universe, but I don't know about love. Okay? That's how God wants to teach us, by the Spirit. And this is the text, chapter 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Or you could put in there, "in love." Right? We speak wisdom. Like whispering, two lovers whispering to each other intimate things from the heart. That's what you want in your life. You want a relationship with God. And we are born again evangelicals, and we often say we're not so much into religion, but we are interested in relationship. That relationship is from the Holy Spirit with God and the heart of God, the mind of God, the thoughts of God, from his heart. From his heart. Isn't that true? Like, I'm married. I want to know, what is my wife's heart? What's in her heart? By the way, we are great grandparents now. 2 days ago, Mika, you know, it's interesting. 46 years ago, we were missionaries in Finland, and my first daughter was born in Naisten Klinika in the hospital in Helsinki. 46 years later, her daughter's baby girl was born in the same hospital. How could you do that? Could you plan that out? Could you make a plan? Could that happen? How did that happen, right? There are things in life that provoke us in life beyond reason, and God is one of them. And let your heart go to God, because you have the Spirit of God. And don't resist the love of God, what the love of God can do in your life, what the love of God can do in faith, that God has called us to faith. What God can do in your life is beyond yourself. This is intimacy. And we speak these things in a mystery, or in the anointing, or in faith. We speak these things from the Bible, in love. What a difference it is when the Spirit of God is our teacher. Now, in about 10 days, we start our Bible school here, our semester, and some of you may be interested. There are morning classes. There are also evening classes. And especially if you have the means, you have it, you're young maybe, you have a schedule, you may have a job, but you're able to do. And just really, or if you're older or you're retired, and you want to be in a fellowship where you're learning the word in a mystery. Because we pray the classes would be anointed, the teachers would be prayerful, and that we would have a fellowship. And I do love it very much. I love it very much. I love this church very much, and I love what we do. And what happened, what we saw in India, that's just nobody, that's just beyond, that's the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit doing that. And he's doing it in different parts of the world. Yeah, but to get to do that, we have to receive. We need to receive. Let's go to the next verse there, chapter 2, verse 7 says, but God ordained before the world unto our glory. He wanted, before the world was even made, he wanted to make us, and he wanted to be intimate with us and show us things from his heart. God wanted a family. He wanted to show, he wanted to create us, even before he created angels. Looks like he created the angels first, then the universe. He made us. And in his heart, he wanted his heart to come to us, and that we would be designed for that. We would be designed in his image. We'd be designed to receive from his heart. Wow. We'd be designed for that, to take it from to receive into, receive his heart. We're made in his image, right? Amazing. So that design, you and I have that. We're designed for that. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now that means the princes are the leaders of the world. They are Pontius Pilate, Caiaphas, and Annas, for example. They didn't know what they were doing. Why? What they didn't know, they had Jesus there, and they decided to crucify him. They didn't know who he was. They lost. They were blinded to it. They didn't know him. Look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So that shows you how blind we can be. That shows you how I don't get it. That shows you how I can live my life, be very strong and very smart and very capable and very well positioned in society with a status and stature, and have everything going for me and not know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. And that's what happened. And Jesus said it on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So that's a good picture for us in this world that we live in. There are people that don't know. And by the way, that we, us too, we don't always know what we're doing. We don't always see where it goes. We don't always understand. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And we understand how that can happen. So verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them to love him. Another way of saying that is we don't have the means to perceive what he has prepared for us. We don't know it. We don't have the antenna or the eyes or the ears. We can't get it. It's not in our heart what he has. The intimate things in God, the intimate things in his heart, are not known to us. But we do see the Grand Canyon. We see the birth of a little baby. We see, maybe if you're capable, I'm not, but Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, you are able to see it, understand it, but you cannot get this thing that we're talking about. What he has prepared for us, that's beyond our natural skill of perception. Our ears, we hear Beethoven's Sixth Symphony. The eyes, we see the Swiss Alps or some other incredible thing. We see from the Hubble telescope, it was at 5 billion miles away, turned and took a picture of the Earth. Wasn't it 5 billion miles away, a little blue dot, the Earth? We see, but that doesn't mean that we see what we really are made for. That, what do we see? We cannot see that what is in the heart of God for us. I don't get it. I don't see it. I can't see what is in the heart of God for me, by nature. But in my heart, I have a lot of feelings. I have love. I have in our minds intelligence and skills. And we can live our life without God. We can live our life without God. We can believe in God, but I don't know what's in his heart for me. Yeah, I hope you could understand that. Like I go through a garbage can outside somebody's house and they see the things that they threw away. But I don't know who's in the house. There's somebody in the house, but I've never seen them. I don't know who they are. Never had a conversation. But I can go through the garbage can, or I could look at their car in the garage, or maybe something that they did. I could read a paper by them, but I don't know them. That's like living in this universe and looking at the universe, but I don't know who he is. I don't know his heart. I don't know, does he love? Who is he? Do you understand that? You can't get it. But verse 10 says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's why we assemble, because I want to hear what does the Spirit say. That's why we take our time in our faith, because I don't know what is. I'm looking for what the Spirit says. I don't know about you. I've been to the university. I studied there for a couple of years. I mean, at a college, a state college. I sat in the classes, and I know what they have to say. I've been to the theater. I've read books. I know stories. I know about documentaries, like all of us do. But do you know what the things are that the Spirit reveals to your heart through Jesus Christ. Christ was here. And he said, you have ears, but you can't hear. You have words, but you don't have it in your heart. I know you. I know you. I know who you are. I know your religion. I know your behaviors. I know your habits. You're clean on the outside, but on the inside, it's like an empty, it's like a tomb with dead men's bones. And we say, yes, Lord, we are very good hypocrites. We are good at hypocrisy. We're very good at showing on the outside. And Jesus said, follow me. And I will touch the inside. I will be on the inside. He said to the woman at the well, if you asked me, I would give you water. But the meaning is not that water down in the ground. No, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst. Never, never thirst. That's when the heart of man is joined with the heart of God. When the heart of God speaks to you in your heart, that's where you get peace. You have love, you have holiness, you have joy, satisfaction. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Let me draw this picture. Here's God, and here is the cosmos or the creation. This is the creation, just a symbol, okay? Creation, and this is God. When you look at creation, you kind of are touching God. How? Look at the Grand Canyon. It's beautiful. I assume. I mean, I've seen pictures. Okay. Look at the stars. What do you see? Sometimes we see it touches our spirit, and we go, God. And we worship God. We touch creation. But still, I wonder what's in his heart. There's one thing I can't see in creation. I can't see, does he love me? I can't see that. I see his power. I see the ocean. I see his power. I see the stars. I see order. I see power. I see intelligence. But I can't see his love. I don't know, does he love me? I know he made the universe, but I don't know that he loves me. And by the way, I'm having a hard time loving myself. I'm having a hard time loving my neighbor. I'm having a hard time loving my wife or my children or my country or loving my enemy. I don't know about this love. Who is God? And it says here, the Spirit reveals the deep things of God. You see that? The last part there? God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, if we think about people, it's kind of like, where's the deep part of a person? You know, because we have a face, but what's behind the face? We have hands and arms, but what's behind them? Why did you do that? What's behind what you're doing, right? Same with God. You created the universe. Why did you do it? What's behind it? Are you tricking us? Is this beautiful world a trick? Or I see how mean you are, or dangerous you are, or how bad it is. I see death. What's behind that? Why, do you hate us? God, who are you, God? Do you hate me? I was in a car accident. Why did that happen? Do you hate me, God? You cannot find the heart of God if you only have creation. If you have creation, you can't really find what's behind it, why things happen or what's going on. Creation cannot do it, and just you left to yourself in this world, you cannot find it out. We cannot find it out. It has to come from God to us. It has to come from his heart. In John chapter 1, it says, Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. Let's put that verse up. Is it 1:18? John 1:18. Is it? My memory is right. Let's see. Yes, it is. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has brought him out. The exegesis is bringing out from the Father. Jesus brings out from the Father his heart. So when we find Jesus, we're finding the heart of God, what we miss. Right, we can't have when we're left to ourselves in the creation. We need not simply creation, as beautiful and great as it is. We need salvation. We need the manifestation of God to us. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Watch in our picture here is a man. And kind of you could say there's layers. There's the outside layer. And then there's some in him is the spirit of the man. This is the part of us that makes us like an angel, to be honest. It's like we're like angels in a way. We are spirits. The emphasis in our life usually is on a material part of us. And we address the material part, the need for food and manicures and cosmetics and hair coloring and cuts and clothes. And we are very concerned about our appearance and also our health, our bodies. But there's a part of you that soars like an angel. There's a part of you that lives forever. There's a part of you that can comprehend, understand the heart of God, the love of God, the nature of God, the heart of God. That's the thing that when Jesus came, he was so much concerned that the people that were with him would get beyond the material world and recognize the reality of the invisible world, the spiritual world. He said, store your treasure in heaven. When they came to him at the well, they said, do you want to eat lunch? And he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. I'm talking to this woman. I'm on a mission. I got a mission. You're asking me about lunch. That's not my focus. I'm on a mission. I got something going on here. Meat to eat that you don't know about. That's spiritual ministry. That's something that you want in your life. You might say, well, I don't have that in my... Yes, you have. Yes, you have. You have the Holy Spirit in your life. Therefore, you have a ministry. You have something to give. You have something that you see, something that is in your heart, something that's moving in your heart. You have prayers that you pray and things that you do and kindness that you have and love and joy and peace that you have as a person. You have a ministry to the person next to you, sister and brother or a relative or spiritual sisters and brothers in the body of Christ. Go to chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man? Oh, I know that person. You don't know that person. Oh, no, I know who that person is. Do you? I don't know. I don't know. I remember when I was a young kid, and I realized I don't think my mother knows me. I don't think my mother actually knows me. And I was maybe 10 years old or something. I remember walking to school and thinking, and I thought, I don't know, maybe nobody really knows me. Like I'm kind of lonely. Like nobody really knows. Even my mother, who I was very close to my mother. My mother, I kissed her every day when I went out the house. I would kiss her goodbye every day. I was very close to my, but I didn't know if she knew me. Of course. And nobody knows a person, but by the spirit of that person. That's the deepest part. And when you were born again, you were given a new spirit and a new heart. Did you know that? You might say, no, I want my old one. No, you don't want your old one, believe me. No, believe me, you don't want your old one. No, you don't want that one. You are you, that's for sure. You are you. But when God gives you his holiness, when he puts in you his spirit, when he gives you a heart that's after God, that's what you want. You want a heart and a fellowship that's like with God. So two pillows, you know, in the Middle East, the word for intimacy is two pillows. Because when, you know, you have the camels and the tent and everything, you're lying down and you have two pillows and you're talking to each other. You can whisper to each other and share your heart, your dreams, your desires, your wishes. When that happens between you and God, then you're firing on all cylinders. You got it going for you. You got a life. You got a life that has value. You have a life that has meaning. You have a life. Yeah, but you don't know how beat up I know. Life can beat you up. And Jesus is telling us in the Gospels how bad life can be, but when I am here, and I am talking to your heart, and the Holy Spirit is ministering to you, you will be satisfied. You are satisfied, because you're made for this. Go to chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So we know about the world. I think you do. You can make it. That's a totally another message, isn't it? The spirit of the world. Okay, this is the spirit. There is a spirit of the world in the scripture. There is the fashion of the world, 1 Corinthians 7. There is the spirit of the world, 1 Corinthians 2:11. There is the wisdom of the world, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to live here long before you can figure out that there's a whole way of living that's very common, that's very different from the spirit of God living in you and through you. It's just different. the Holy Spirit. The spirit of the world is not holy. This is Christ comes into your heart, and now you have the Holy Spirit. There are things you don't like because it's dirty. It's not clean. I don't like it. I don't want to do that. I know what it is. It's not clean. It's not the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit. Conversations, are they clean, unclean, or what are they? Common? There's nothing special. I want to hear something special that goes to my heart. I want to hear something edifying me and building me up in my faith. I like the Spirit of God to help me and lead me in faith and teach me that life is more than flesh and blood, more than Las Vegas, or more than pornography, more than stealing and cheating, or more than betrayal and dishonesty, more than cursing and swearing, more than gossiping and digging up iniquity in Psalm 64. I want to hear that. I want to know what is it that the Lord wants to say to us. It's satisfying. The content of it, it's not a fashion, it's not on the surface. It's content. Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going away. And then they weren't yelling, but they were very provoked. No, you're not going. Like, I'm leaving. I'm going away. No, you can't go. You see, that was the mood of it. Why? Because when you have this, it's so precious. It's even hard to forget. If you leave it and you try to forget it, you remember back. I had a friend years ago, sadly, we went to Bible school together, and he did mission work in a certain country. I don't want to say much about it, but he did mission work in a certain country. Had an amazing time, and he had a great marriage and beautiful family and everything, and then things fell apart years later. And he lost in his heart, like his family lost, and he took his life. But another friend of mine who had talked to him had said, you know, what was the best days in your life? He said, the best days was when I was a missionary. I was a missionary. It was amazing. Those were the best days. And then, you know, I left. I left the church. I left. I lost, you know, and I don't want to say much about it, but I'm just saying, when you walk with Jesus and you walk away from Jesus, it's very hard to walk away from him. Because you remember. And you don't even know what that was, but that was the Spirit of God. That's what you are made for. That's what you are hungry for. That's what you want in your life. And regardless where you are at in life today, just say to God in your heart, just go back to God. It's not about our church, per se. That's not the primary thing. Find one. Go. Humble yourself, be before God and find God again. Because he's not giving up. You are a family member. That you just need to hear from. But you know, if you look at the garbage can and you know, like God did make it, and you look at the things on the outside of God, then it's not enough for you. Because you can blame God. Get angry with God. Blame people. Blame the people of God. Blame each other. We can all do that. But that's not what this is saying. That is the opposite of what this is saying. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The world will blame God. The world will blame. Let's say point to the trash can and look at what God has made, the trash can. And point to the church and say, look at that. That's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of the world. And let me say this. I know many of you know that you're good listeners, and I'm thankful. Listen, I don't know about the United States of America. I don't know where this is going. I don't know what's going to happen in our country. I don't know where it's going, but it may not be good. It may not be good. They may, that any number of things, the twists and turns. And do you recognize the agenda that is out in the open from the world about us, Christians, wherever, that we are the problem? Do you recognize that we are the ones that are resisting the homosexual direction, the transgender direction? Do you realize and recognize that when it gets politicized, the power that is there and how that power can go against the Christian, and that the Christian is the problem in our society? The Christian is the problem, wasn't it? Isn't that the message? Isn't that what they said about Jesus? That Jesus is the problem. If we crucify him, we will solve our problems. Well, what's my point? My point is, let it be. It is what it is. I'm active politically. I mean, I have opinions about things. And by the way, you should have too. You should have too. You might say, well, I don't drink. That's great. And I don't look at pornography. That's great. That's for your personal life. I agree. Amen to that. I accept that. But then what about your neighbor? And what about the institutions that we have? What about our country? What about freedom? And what about a right to speech and a right to assemble? What about those values? We have values there that we must be exercised in our heart and mind about the about things regarding our church life. Can we have a passport so we can go to other countries? Can we buy an airplane ticket? Can we have a Christian school? Can we have a Bible college? Can we assemble? Can we own property? How do we operate? And so on. Keep your eyes away. I'm not saying those things in the immediate are being threatened. I am saying that things can happen very fast and can go in a bad direction very quickly. And I want you to be awake. And when you vote, you vote with your being awake about what you're deciding and what you are thinking about. Because why wouldn't God hold me in my heart accountable for the things that are running our society and affecting the lives of millions of people? Okay, so that's that. Let's move on. We got to finish up. This is going a little bit long, but that's okay. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I want to know what's free. Let's put that down. I want to know what is free. Look at free. I'm a mooch. I'm a parasite. I feed off of others, okay? No. I feed off of God. I need him to wash my feet. I need him to love me. I need him to forgive me again and again. I need to know what is freely given to me. What would be the opposite? That you would know what you have to work for. What do you work for, right? This is not the gospel. We don't work for this life. It's given to us. My great-granddaughter, who was born the other day, was given life. Did she work for it? It was freely given to her. That life, your eyes, freely given. Your ears, your heart, your life, it's freely given to us. And then salvation. It's freely given. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, like we are this morning. We're speaking about the things that are freely given. Not in the words which men's wisdom teaches. Like, you're not listening to a professor this morning. I'm not a professor. You're not listening to like an intellectual a message, or a politician may be talking, or this is men's wisdom, right? The issues of canals and bridges and highways and our society and systems and so on. No, we're not speaking about those things. We're speaking about other things which the Holy Spirit teaches, verse 13. How does he teach it? He teaches on our knees in prayer. He teaches us by our teachers who have gone before us and books that they have written, and we open them and learn them, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, I hope you're not weary. I'm almost done. Okay. We could end now. Yeah, we could end now. Wait a minute. Let me think about it. Wait, we could end now, but no, let's go. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Can he be a professor? Yes, but he doesn't get the things of God. Can he be very capable? Yes, but he does not get the things of God. Is he very intuitive and sensitive and human and very kind and polite? Yes, but he does not get the deep things that come from God. He does not understand it. He does not live in faith. He doesn't have the Spirit of God that is teaching him the things that are freely given to us of God. Is he legalistic? Yes. Could he use the Bible? Yeah. Could he thump the Bible and or cram it down my throat or pound me with the Bible and the Ten Commandments and the laws and everything? Yes, that is religion, and there is a lot of it. By the way, if somebody on Christian TV says, you know, the Spirit told me that there's 1,000 of you who are to send me $50 today. That I always put up the number. The Spirit of God told me that there's 10,000 of you that are listening to me, and you're to send me $50 today, and it'll be seed money for you to get a spiritual blessing. Then send it in today. So then he gets $500,000. Who is that guy that would say that? Who would be saying that? Yeah, it's not true. That's not, I don't buy that. I don't believe that. I don't believe he should be asking money for himself. I don't believe, did the Spirit of God tell him? I do not know. I don't know, but I don't believe that. I don't like to live with that idea. That idea is not, it doesn't sound right to me. It's like there are false prophets, there are false apostles, there are false teachers, and it can be on a Christian network, and it could be misleading, and it's not of God. What is of God? It's when Jesus gets so personal in your spirit and heart that you have faith and hope in him, that you believe your life changes because of him. Because I can get away from my sin because of God, that he sets me free from myself, my bad habits, and builds me up and encourages me. But the natural man does not receive the thing. Natural man may raise money. Natural man may be very smart and capable, but the natural man cannot reveal Christ to us. But when we have Christ revealed to us by the anointing of God, that builds us up in our faith and in love, and you just feel like, I just want to keep going. I cannot help it. I just feel very encouraged. I just want to keep going and keep going because love never fails, and because that's the nature of God in you. You want to just keep going and believe in God and understand the deep things of God. That's what you and I want. Okay, finishing, it says, I think I'll just finish there. We didn't finish 14, 15, and 16, but that's good enough. We did. We read enough. We'll do that later, maybe tonight. So let's pray. Lord, we just want these things to kind of cook in our hearts. Like, just let it be, let it grow in there, seed planted. read it and reread it and think about it and pray about it and receive it in your heart, what God says to you. You are born of God. You have the Spirit of God, the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ, it says. We have a new heart now. We have a new way. We have life, God's life in us. Bless the Bible colleges. We started up in 10 days. Bless people here that are thinking about going to Bible college and taking a course or a full load or going for it in my heart, in my life of faith, to trust you and believe you for the future, Lord. And then, so anyone here is not a believer yet, come to Jesus today. This is about Jesus. It's not about joining a church. It's about coming to Jesus as you are, saying to Jesus, I need you. Lord, come into my heart. Save me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.